tax man's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht, he's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David K. Johnston, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with the New York Times. He teaches at the Syracuse University College of Law and writes columns for Tax Notes and The Nation, and has uncovered so many tax dodges that he's been called the de facto Chief Tax Enforcement Officer of the United States. He's the author of the best-selling books Perfectly Legal and Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. Welcome to Background Briefing, David K. Johnston.
Well, Ian, thank you. I do need to update you. I don't work for Tax Notes of the Nation anymore. I write for Reuters.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
I'm their global tax and economics columnist.
So I imagine you're writing about Mitt Romney, because
indeed,
I'm astounded at what Mitt Romney said the other day. He sort of shot himself twice in the foot. He said he's been dancing around the question of his taxes for some time, and that he intended to release his tax returns. He was asked about it at the debate, but then he shot himself twice in the foot by announcing that he had paid closer to the 15% rate in taxes, at the same time downplaying the $374,327 in speaking fees that he got in 1 year is not much.
Right.
Do you think he's going to continue to be haunted by this tax issue?
Yes, I think that he's got a serious image problem here, and let me walk through a bit of this. You know, Romney is a very wealthy man. By his own campaign's account, he's worth somewhere between $190 and $250 million. And on top of that, he set up a $100 million trust fund for his five sons, $20 million each. But here's how Romney's different than you and me and most people. We work for somebody, and we get compensated for our services, typically called wages or salary, and the government requires that the taxes be taken out of our check before we get our money. Romney was compensated for managing other people's money at Bain Capital Management, which he was one of the co-founders of, and where he was clearly very good at what he was supposed to do. His compensation, however, wasn't taxed when he got it. It's called carried interest. And he gets this money. He gets to enjoy what flows from it, dividends and interest, and yet doesn't have to pay taxes on it so long as he doesn't sell it and the deal doesn't close. Now, we don't know how much of his carried interest continues to be untaxed. We do know that Bain Capital has huge amounts of money, as Reuters reported earlier, in the Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Hong Kong, Ireland, all of which are, depending on the deal, tax havens. The U.S. can actually be a tax haven if you live in another country. And that's what's different, that you and I have to pay our taxes before we get paid. Romney is in this special class of people who they get to get paid now and pay their taxes by and by.
And you reported earlier, David K. Johnston, for Reuters, that Bain had held accounts harbored in places such as Bermuda, Ireland, and Hong Kong, but ABC News...
Colleagues of mine did that, not
right.
Me. Yes.
Well, okay, but the ABC News is now reporting that Bain holds up to 138 shrouded offshore funds in the Cayman Islands alone. But ABC News is also reporting that Mitt Romney holds millions of dollars in offshore investments, he holds around 8 million of his personal wealth in as many as 12 funds based in the Cayman Islands. And Romney also lists a separate investment value between $5 million and $25 million placed in the Cayman Islands as well.
Right. And these are all from his disclosure statements. And it's important, Ian, to understand everything that he's doing is perfectly legal. In fact, if we had a full accounting, we would find that he probably gives, as his father did, around 20% of his income to charity, most of it to his church, but a fair amount to other charities. So in some ways, he's a model citizen. But the scandal, the real scandal here is, first of all, that the law allows this. And the law allows this because Joe Sixpack doesn't have a voice in Washington, but the hedge fund managers and the private equity managers do. And they have gotten this special deal, and they've protected it. As it's very valuable to them. I mean, wouldn't you imagine how well off you'd be if for the last 20 years, instead of paying taxes, you'd been able to invest all your income taxes, collect the dividends off of that investment, and only now would you start actually turning the money over to pay the government. You'd be much better off. The country, if we all did that, of course, would be a disaster.
Well, but in response to the ABC News, Andrea Saul, who's a spokesperson for the Romney campaign, says that ABC is flat wrong. The Romney investments in funds established in the Cayman Islands are taxed in the very same way they would be if those funds were established in the United States. That leads you to ask the obvious question, well, why the hell are you putting them in the Cayman Islands?
and the reason for that's very simple. You put these funds, first of all, understand, money, there's no money in the Cayman Islands, okay?
So
all
it's just
in the Cayman Islands is a piece of paper that says this money is owned in the Cayman Islands. The money's all in New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's here in this country, but its ownership paper is in the Cayman Islands. It's as if the house that you live in is owned by your father, who lives in Montana, and the title to that house is in his bank vault in Montana. Understand that distinction. The reason you do these things offshore is that the people who invest with you, if they are pension funds, including all sorts of private funds, if they are endowments like the Harvard Endowment, the only way that they can get a tax advantage is by being offshore, because nonprofits are not allowed to borrow money to invest in the market unless they pay taxes on their gains. But if they do it through what is nominally in the Cayman Islands, they get to borrow money, invest the borrowed money, and not pay taxes.
Well, my understanding, David K. Johnston, again, the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with the New York Times and now with Reuters, the author of Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. My understanding is that the government loses an estimated $100 billion a year because of these tax havens like the Cayman Islands. And it's worth noting that the Republicans who go to the mat for the millionaires and billionaires and will hold up the entire government, they'll hold it hostage to the full faith and credit of the United States to get their way, as they did recently, in order to protect the privileges of the 1%. So that's pretty clearly on the record.
Absolutely, and the Democrats are doing it too.
The number one
defender of this is Chuck Schumer, followed by Charlie Rangel, both New York Democrats. So, you know, both parties are in this up to their eyeballs.
Well, that is true, but I think, isn't it true now that it's the Republicans in the House are pushing through a budget cut at the IRS, which would cut the amount of people that would oversee who pays their taxes, and therefore weaken the revenue gatherers. Yeah. And these are people who are supposed to care about the deficit. That's what I'm getting at.
That's right. My column yesterday at Reuters is about the fact that President Obama, bowing to the Republicans, has proposed a real inflation-adjusted 5% cut at the IRS. Now, the senior auditors at the IRS, the ones who do big international companies, you know, General Electric, all the household brand names you know about, for every hour that they audit, they bring in $9,354. So we pay them, the absolute max they can make is about $140,000 a year. Most of them make less than $100,000 a year. And they bring in $19 million and change for a year's work. Why would you not hire more people like that? Well, because if you believe that these corporations are being oppressed by the tax system and you hate government and want to shrink government, then you're going to do that. The problem with that is it's not fair. You and I and everybody else who has a salaried job, we are thoroughly taxed by our Congress. But Congress is shutting down, as much as it can get away with, enforcement of the law against those people who are sophisticated, big, and the biggest corporations. That's not fair. I mean, imagine if the LAPD announced a policy tomorrow that they're only going to ticket people who drive foreign-made cars. We'd all recognize that's an outrage. Well, why don't we recognize that about how Congress funds the IRS?
Well, it should be pretty clear, surely, David K. Johnston, that the government is owned by the millionaires and billionaires, because it's just impossible to get rid of the Bush tax cuts. That was the point I was making. They'll go to the mat for that.
But, Ian, the only reason it's owned by those people is that too many of us are busy watching reruns of Law and Order and Dancing with the Stars, and we've outsourced our citizenship.
Good point.
That is at the center of this, is that people are, you know, why would I vote? You know, why would I register to vote? Well, you know, this is why. This is the government you get. And you get politicians in both parties. I mean, some of the most egregious tax policy in America comes through Feinstein and Boxer, who are Democrats, and things that they have supported and proposed. And the reason is, we know the rich have access that we don't have. They're donors. They have corporate jets to fly people. The companies have corporate jets to fly congressmen around. They have jobs for family members. You know, people just organized and voted, we'd have a different Congress.
Well, but they may vote for Mitt Romney, who's one of the 1%. I mean, that's the part that's amazing. He's likely to be the nominee.
What now you're arguing against democracy, Ian. I mean,
no, I'm not. I'm not arguing against democracy, by the way. I'm saying by default, if the disaffected Democrats don't vote, this guy will walk in.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's the point I'm making. And by the way, just to get back to him, do you think this? You know, his father released 12 years of tax returns. Everybody releases their tax returns going back many, many years. He's trying to get around it by saying, "I'll just release this year's taxes, and I won't do it until April." So it gives him time to jiggle it around to make it look like. I mean, this is a guy that's worth a quarter of $1 billion. So how's he going to look like the everyman?
He's not going to ever look like the everyman, but Romney has had been running for president now for 5 years. Remember, he tried to get the nomination in 2008, and he was running in 2007, and he filed disclosure forms. So he's had 5 years to orchestrate his finances so that his tax return would look as good as possible in terms of his running for office. But I don't care about his current tax return. The tax returns we want to see are from 1984, when he co-founded Bain Capital Management, until 2000, the year after he left. Those are the ones that matter. And it's Romney has a real problem here, because when he releases his 2011 return, all it's going to do is lead to more and more questions. And Governor Christie in New Jersey today was on national TV saying, you know, just get it out of the way. I released every one of my tax returns. George W. Bush released his tax returns for every year he had significant income. So did Obama. And when his father, Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, released his tax returns in 1968, when he was trying to get the nomination and he lost to Richard Nixon, he released 12 years of them. And he said, why? Because it was the right thing to do. And what did we find out a few years later in Watergate? That our president, Richard Nixon, had filed 4 years of fraudulent tax returns, criminally fraudulent returns, and I can say criminally because two of his tax advisors were indicted, and those tax returns are listed in the Nixon Bill of Impeachment. Well, my guess is Romney has done everything in a perfectly legal way, but we do not really know what's going on unless he gives us all those returns. And I don't mean the 1040, I mean the complete tax return, which in his case probably runs 100 to 200 pages from 1984 through at least 2000.
Well, David K. Johnston, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with David K. Johnson, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with The New York Times, who teaches at the Syracuse University's College of Law and writes for Reuters. He's uncovered so many tax dodges that he's been called the de facto chief tax enforcement officer in the United States. He's the author of the best-selling books Perfectly Legal and Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. So what do we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we started out with two reporters from InsideClimateNews.org, Elizabeth McGowan and Lisa Song. Today, the State Department rejected the application for the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline that would cross from the tar sands of Alberta all the way down to the refineries in Texas. This has been a contentious issue that Bill McKibben of 350.org shamed the White House into canceling it. They tried to punt it, kick the can down the road. The Republicans came back, tried to make a political issue out of it and embarrass him. It looks like he may have turned the tables on them. Of course, the Canadians will come back with another application. They'll probably go ahead and try and build their pipeline to the Pacific Coast to sell the oil to China, and the Republicans will make a lot of hay about it in this election year. You better believe it. And then we talked about how fascism is emerging in Hungary with a right-wing party that's grabbing power just as Putin has done in Russia. Got a very good briefing from Daniel Kellerman at Rutgers, who studies the European Union. They tried to hold the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban to account for what he's doing. They got some leverage, obviously, because Hungary, like a lot of countries, is broke. Then we talked with David K. Johnson, the leading expert on taxes in the country, about Mitt Romney's taxes, how much he's hiding offshore in the Caymans. That's information is coming out. And just the general disgrace that he only pays 15%, where the rest of us paid so much more. And also interesting to note that the Republicans are going to, and apparently Obama's agreed to it, to cut the amount of enforcement in the IRS to collect money, which makes a mockery of this idea that we have this deficit we have to deal with, because that's the best way to get money to pay off the bills, is to have the IRS collect what's owed to them. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by 9:30. Who will ever know how much she loved them so? That dark night alone in America. A quiet voice singing something to me. An angel song about the home of the brave and this land here of the free. One time, one night. The other big